Oi, 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 drinking and destroy. Welcome to Kanonenzeitung episode 18. Your skinhead magazine for philosophy, shamanism, non-duality, sex, drugs, rock and roll, and very flat jokes. I am talking to Jim Newman today again. It's the second encounter on Kanonenzeitung after episode 12. We are here in Vienna, West Vienna, and talking about nothing. We are even finding out that we are not even in West Vienna. That's already a huge story. I'd like to outline the message of non-duality just a little bit for you, dear listeners, because it's really maybe tough to listen to this conversation without any idea of what it was really about. So Jim is talking about what is. I'm very sensitive at the moment because I know he will listen to me and point out everything that's wrong, what I say at the moment. I just have to do my job. So what is it, non-duality? That's just what's happening. It's very, very simple. It's actually so simple that it cannot be explained. There is no one in it. It is an expression of nothing. There's no difference between the absolute and the relative. This is all one. There's only perfection. Nothing has ever gone wrong. In a sense, nothing has ever gone right either, but this is paradise. Nothing is missing. That's just the characteristics of this world. It's a very simple message, and so does Jim Newman's homepage look. A very German construction of this sentence here. It's jimnewman.at. It's just one page. If you're interested in visiting one of his meetings, then you should go to this webpage. I'll also post... No, I won't post the upcoming events because that's already next week. Maybe I'll just put a small note under this podcast. For anybody listening at the moment, there is a little bit of video on YouTube. And for those listening on on YouTube, there is more audio than there's video on Hear This. So enjoy this discussion, or let's say this talk, which isn't leading anywhere. Of course, nothing has ever led anywhere. It's the deconstruction of all stories. It's the end and the beginning. That's Kanonenzeitung, episode 18. Did you ever listen to any other Kanonenzeitung except for yourselves?
I never listened to mine.
You never listened to yours?
No. There's a Facebook webpage about the Kanonenzeitung, Jim Newman. They've a fan page.
It's just mine.
Oh, is it yours?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay. Somebody translated part of it. Put part of the text into...
Spanish.
English. Into Facebook.
Part of what?
The text from our talk.
But it was in English.
English, yeah.
Yeah. So translated to what?
Oh, I'm sorry. What do you call it? Just written out. Outwritten.
Oh, transcribed.
Transcribed, yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Somebody else told me about it. I'm not on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see that either. Nice.
Yeah.
And there was also some critical comments. Maybe you've seen them. But it's hard to kind of... Maybe I can have a look at them, but yeah. They're not really... It's just the reproach that is duplicate of Tony Parsons.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where I heard the message first, so...
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if I sound very much like Tony Parsons.
Way.
What's that?
No, that's what comes to mind, like, for me. When, like, he always does, like, ooh. Yeah.
Ooh. That's a really good expression of what this is like, though.
Ooh. Ooh.
Totally. I mean, because it's just, you know, it's just vital aliveness just appearing as all of this.
Yeah. I like to use the term naked since one or 2 days. Because I was talking yesterday with a guy, with a friend here, who just brought the camera on the balcony. And he said the dead end point for his philosophy is that there's some things he just has to assume, like there's a world and there's people and the U4 is driving back and forth down there, and that he cannot know if everything is just happening in his mind or if it's just a projection or if it's a dream or it's reality. But I said it's not necessary. I mean, there's no need to really know or assume anything, because, and I think I'm on the same page with you here, it's all really obvious. I mean, there's all these feelings, all these whatever there is, and like there's no need to interpret or to like reflect upon them or like categorize or understand them or anything.
The separate sense of self lives in a world of knowing. It can't do anything else. So it has to have context, which is knowing that the U4 is driving down there. That's context.
Mm-hmm.
It's limited to context.
So would you agree then that all these big atheist movements is also in a way religious? Or it's in a way running a program?
It's still knowing.
Yeah.
They know there's no God.
Yeah.
That's knowing.
Yeah. I've seen this video yesterday. Science Saved My Soul.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite popular, quite famous. And there this guy goes like, he looks out into the stars and he understands the age of the universe and the coming through of material existence after supernova or something, and the amount of stars, and he says like it's necessary to be free to understand and to know and to see things as they are, not as you would like them to be, as opposed to religious people. But obviously that's another program from my point of view. Why look at the stars and think about how old they are? What do you say about it?
What's the question?
There's no question. But man, is a, let's say, a clash between non-duality and atheist science.
There's no clash in non-duality. Non-duality is completely inclusive. Non-duality is just simply a word that points to the reality that there's no such thing as duality.
Yeah.
Duality is an appearance. But in the appearance, anything can appear.
Yeah.
Why not? And knowing can appear. Seeming to know can appear. The age of the stars can appear.
Yeah.
And atheism can appear.
Yeah.
That's just the absolute appearing as atheism or age of stars or anything else.
Yeah. I just like to laugh about it at the moment because I was still worrying myself, let's say recently, or like a few years back, to people, you know, people have the wrong ideas and they have to fight it. And now it's all like atheists worrying about religious people worrying about atheists. One branch of non-duality worrying about another branch of non-duality, and it's all like Okay. Mm-hmm. Why do you think they invited you to other places, to go to Ireland, to go to USA?
The person who invited me, why did they invite me?
Or? Yeah.
Well, I think they love the message.
Yeah.
But why people come, you know, they come for all sorts of reasons.
Yeah.
A lot of them come because they think they're going to get something.
Yeah, sure.
And a lot come because they just love hearing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I hear a lot that it resonates with something in them.
Mm-hmm.
But even if they feel like they don't get it or they don't know what it means or it's not their experience, it still resonates. There's still something that resonates with them. That's the way it was for me when I started going. I knew I didn't get it.
Oh.
I knew it wasn't clear for me.
Yeah.
But there was a resonance. It was as close to being home as I could be.
Yeah.
Was hearing it.
Yeah. I remember that too, like, hearing this and, like, at first not believing that it could be so so radical and so simple, and then trying to, like, take my hammer and nails and try to nail somewhere on the wall so I can, like, put it in some category and, like, get rid of this. And, like, it didn't work because just there's only this constant undermining, this constant simple message, so there's no chance to, like, hang it somewhere or to, like, you, of course you can still do it, but I couldn't. Yeah. So I guess you could not you could not use this message.
No, it's useless.
It's useless, yeah. So there's also no compromise. I mean, there's no compromise regards, let's say, come on, you know, we talked about our friend who is strongly believing that he's kind of special and then he wants to get some fame and other people around him suffer because, like, come on, you're not special, and he's special needs client. So there's, like, this double sense of being worth nothing and at the same time trying to cover it up through being famous or something. And so we just wrote this email to you, yeah, saying, hey, how about you talk to him and explain to him there's no I, there's nothing to achieve, there's no worries. And then you said, well, it doesn't work, like an intentional intervention,
right?
Why doesn't it work?
Because it has no intention. It's not going anywhere. It's like trying to say, where is the universe? Like asking somebody to point to the universe. You can't point to the universe because it's completely inclusive.
Yeah.
So there's nowhere to point to.
Yeah. So, let's say there's some kind of energies and that resonate with the message.
There's no energies, there's just what is.
Mm-hmm.
Appearing as this. It's incredibly simple.
Yeah. So, you wouldn't use this as a tool. Even in your, let's say, in your job or in...
Well, a tool implies that there's somewhere to go or something to work on.
Yeah.
But what's being suggested is that everything that's happening is the absolute appearing as everything that's happening. So there's nowhere to go, there's nothing to work on.
So when we talk about ordinary life, then there's only things that fall away, but there's nothing gained.
I'm not sure what you mean by ordinary life. If you mean by ordinary life, the story of the me,
yeah, let's talk about like sitting here,
yeah,
visiting somebody, finding a parking lot. Did you find one?
Yeah, pretty easy today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, all I could say is everything's empty and there is no story.
Yeah. Okay, so you don't allow this connection.
Well, what would happen is what we'd say is then if we talked about the past and it's this, what is the absolute appearing as the past?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So no coaching, no intervention, no treatment.
What would the purpose be?
I could imagine that, for example, when I hear this message and then it's like, holy fuck, how could I ever like imagine I don't exist, or like?
But that's a misunderstanding because you don't hear the message. No one ever hears the message.
But
the individual doesn't hear this. The individual will exclusively try to avoid this message in any way it can,
mm-hmm.
even by thinking it understands it. No one understands this. I don't understand this.
Okay.
I don't get it. Mm-hmm. No one gets it.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can connect this on a conversation. You make a strong difference between the individual and the not individual, do you?
Well, there's a sense of self sometimes that appears in this,
mm-hmm.
and that that lives in a story or is a story,
yeah.
which is a continuation or a continuity.
Just lost your audio. The audio is back. Do you know Yogi Krishnamurti?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about his
stuff? I don't know enough about
stuff.
Him.
No.
Don't.
No. No. Because I think an interesting thing is that that he says, like, I is just a word. And I see a little bit of a difference here to your message, where you say the eye is not, in a sense, it's not a word, but it's a contraction.
Well, it's an experience.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So just tell me more about that. I mean,
well, I am the experience of trying to be something. For me, the eye seems like a straitjacket of ways I should be in order to make my life work.
Yeah.
And a straitjacket in the sense that it really affects the entire body.
Yeah. So you have tension everywhere and you can't see, basically. Is that it?
Well, what's seen is the perspective from a separate sense of, you know, sense of self.
Yeah. So then you feel that contraction go away in all parts of the body, like it's felt or it's gone.
When it fell away here, that's the first time I recognized what was happening or what it was. I had never recognized it before. It was just so much a part of everything that there was no separation to see, oh, that's me, and there's something else. It was only in its falling away that I recognized what it was.
Is there a difference between blaming circumstances, people, also in this?
Well, the the separate sense of self feels responsible for its own life, and so it has that feeling of making others responsible for their lives, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So basically,
it has everything to do with being right and being wrong.
Yeah,
I'm right and you're wrong mostly.
Yeah. I feel like you don't really touch so much dreamscape, but is it also happening in dreams then? So if during the day I blame other people, then during night I might also...
The entire story is the person.
Mm-hmm.
Time is personal.
Yeah.
Continuity is personal. The story is personal.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So then if the story is gone, what's left then?
What is? What's happening? Mm-hmm. But the really fascinating part about that is when the me drops away, when the contraction falls away, it's recognized that it was never there.
Yeah.
Which leads to the recognition that nothing's happening. This is nothing appearing to happen. So it's not coming from anywhere and it's not going from anywhere. It's just a singular expression of just what is.
So then it makes sense that you didn't want to prepare, no? Because I suggested like bouncing back a few emails. But on this topic, why should we bounce back emails if you're talking about what's stemming from nothing?
Well, for me, it's just that I wouldn't know what to prepare. It's not confusing. The whole thing is extremely clear. So it's not that there's something like, yeah, could be done better or not. So I wouldn't know what to prepare.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's just this.
But other things need preparation, do they?
Learning a language seems to.
Uh-huh. Going to New
York?
That's
a story.
Is that? Or I guess it's simple, but still requires some preparation.
Well, anything that seems to require preparation is this, that appears to require preparation. You know, I mean, it's everything is an expression of this.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing outside of this. There's no time, real time, outside of this. There's an appearance of time.
Mm-hmm.
So you and I could talk about the last time we met.
Yeah.
But that's this appearing as the memory of the last time we met.
Yeah.
This meeting isn't a consequence of the last time we met.
Sure. Okay.
There is no consequence.
Mm-hmm.
What I need, or what me needs, is a position. It needs to say, I'm here. And I know where I am, I have context, and I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. And my story has meaning and purpose.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is, there is no position, there is no here. This is an immediate expression of nothing, appearing as what is.
Nice.
And there's no position left for the me to be in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's nobody inside anybody.
Absolutely not. That's the funny thing. When there's somebody inside, then everything else appears to have something in it.
Yeah.
There's a fullness, there's a meaning. For me, it sort of feels like meaning and purpose. Everything has a context.
Yeah.
Everything falls, it has its place suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality, there is no place. There's just everything.
Mm-hmm. So also there's basically no death, because there can't be.
The me dies, either while the body's alive or when the body dies. But when the me dies, it's recognized that it never lived. So in that, there's no death. There's an apparent death.
Yeah.
As there's an apparent me, when there is.
So the me comes alive, but... Huh?
Apparently.
But only after birth, not directly. Not directly in the first few months or years.
Well, what I know about it is from a scientific study that says about 18 months that a child will, when put in front of a mirror,
mm-hmm.
will try to take a sticker away from its forehead instead of off the mirror. Until that time, it'll try to take it off the mirror.
Oh, right.
And they say that shows that there was no sense of center.
Yeah. Okay.
If that's the beginning of me, I don't know. I know people who say that they can remember
mm-hmm.
the me being created or forming in them as attention.
Yeah. Can you?
I can't know.
Okay. You mean I can't or you can't? You mean?
Well, there are people that can.
Oh, okay, okay.
In reality, then, it never happens. But
yeah,
there's in the apparent story, there are people who seem to apparently be able to apparently remember the apparent me coming into their apparent body.
Okay, but why is there so much emphasis on the apparent?
There's nothing else to talk about.
There's no real me, so why call the other me apparent me?
There's no other me. There's only an apparent me.
That's why. Okay. But, if there's only the apparent me, then why put so much emphasis on the me being apparent? If the me
Because its experience is solely as exclusively real. Oh, the me can do nothing but experience itself as exclusively real.
But then there's still some reality left, is there?
Or without me?
Yeah.
Recognized as just what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was making this joke to you saying, do you ever only eat an invisible bacon and eggs? So you said, no, the meat is real.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, language does, like, still keep the position of making, like, saying reality is still.
Well, it depends. What I find the words do have an energy to them, and that's the reason I use the word seeming and apparent.
Yeah.
To point out the fact that the appearance is empty, appearing as whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's what the separate self can't recognize, is the emptiness of everything. It feels that it's completely real, and so everything else is only real.
Yeah, sure.
It experiences itself as a center, so it has everything else over there.
Yeah. Totally can relate to that. So can we also establish this vertical axis where me is happening and then not happening, apparent me, and then reality, and here is the, let's say, trouble, and here is paradise? Is that how you...
Trouble doesn't exclude paradise, and paradise doesn't exclude trouble.
You say it's paradise anyways.
There's only paradise.
There's only paradise.
Yeah. Me is paradise appearing as me.
Okay, but isn't that really a strong word for something that can also appear as toothache?
What?
Paradise.
No.
Because paradise implies everything's good, no?
No. Paradise implies it couldn't be different. Paradise actually says, it doesn't imply, it says that everything is as it is. Things are no longer, what is no longer recognized as paradise, because there's the sort of the feeling of the person that separates itself that it could be different, and different would be better. There's always something else that it's looking for. Mm-hmm. When the me falls away, it's recognized that it couldn't be different. Pain is also just what's happening.
Yeah.
Taking pills to get rid of pain is also what's happening.
Yeah. So you would say everything is paradise.
Well, it is paradise.
It's paradise. It's paradise.
Is perfect.
Yeah.
Is complete. Is whole. There is no such thing as duality.
There's an
appearance of duality. But it could disappear like that. There's no reason for it to be here. None whatsoever.
Oh, you mean like the possibility to differentiate could just disappear?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. So this is just a phenomenon.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a phenomenon, and like the reality to this phenomenon is not there, but the reality to the basis of this phenomenon is there.
There's no basis to anything.
Uh-huh. So let's say this is a random phenomenon, appearance.
Anarchy.
Anarchy. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And yeah, there's no reality to me being experiencing this.
No.
It's not me experiencing this.
Well, only me experiences. Reality is not an experience. What is not an experience. Me experiences what's happening. That's the duality. Experience.
So you mean, let's say, scratching my shoulder is
what's happening.
Is what's happening, and the feeling is happening, but it's not experience.
There's a huge difference between me experiencing something and something simply happening.
Tell me about it.
It's completely indescribable.
I think I know what you're talking about.
This is the absolute. This is absolute. This.
Yes.
This appearance, right?
Where is the universe?
Exactly.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
It's actually quite awesome. The absolute appearing as this.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. So what the me does is it separates the absolute and what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It says there's two things.
Yeah.
It says nothing becoming something. It says the past and the future.
Yeah.
And the fact is this is that. This is the past and the future. This is nothing and everything.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's nowhere for anything to be. It's all just an explosion of this.
Okay, and you just said there is no duality. That's what you meant by that.
There's no such thing as duality. Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
There's an appearance of duality.
Uh-huh.
But that's nothing appearing as duality.
Nothing appearing as duality. I think I cannot understand this.
Nobody does. I don't. Absolutely, yeah. Not. It doesn't come down to understanding.
Yeah, because that's dualism, is it?
Yeah.
Understanding.
Absolutely. It's also not a perception. It's too real to be perceived. It's out of time.
You don't have to worry about it.
Can if you want to.
Okay. Let's not worry about it. Like, got already enough troubles.
Worry is the absolute appearing as worry.
Yeah.
It's also perfection.
Yeah. I think I've got a question here when somebody or a claim that says there's no such thing as non-dual consciousness. And I think what this guy here refers to is
that's true.
Go ahead.
There is no such thing as non-dual consciousness.
But I think if I understand this guy correctly, he wants to claim that this position that there is a me that can eventually drop off and just be gone forever is impossible.
Yeah, it is, for me. It is impossible. I mean, as far as logic and as far as the world of the continuation and as far as, you know, making sense, it's completely impossible.
Uh-huh.
Reality is completely impossible. The absolute is completely impossible.
All right, yeah.
It's unacceptable. It's unbelievable. It's unknowable. It's unperceivable.
Yeah. It cannot be felt. It's not felt. It's not it anyways. I mean, it's not
like
felt. It is just.
Exactly.
But it is this kind of subject looking at object.
No, it's not, well...
But that's language.
Yeah. No, it's not a subject looking at an object.
Yeah, but that's like what comes to mind if you think about what is. But is also implies more than just looking at something. It is all aspects.
Well, I guess maybe it'd be clear to say what is and isn't. So it's closer to the everything and nothing. So it's everything that appears and everything that doesn't appear. So the me lives in a world of the appearance and has no way of registering what doesn't appear.
I've got to close the window for the machine out there. Is there any hierarchy, let's say...
No.
Okay, let's put it another way. Is there more intelligence available if there's less tension, less contraction?
Well, that would be a hierarchy, no.
I mean...
This is the recognition that everything is simply just what it is, without context, meaning, or purpose, is the end of hierarchy.
Yeah, but... Doesn't it mean in a way that it's easier, it becomes easier to do things because, I mean, there's not the me in the way. The me, like, reflects on everything it does and tries to represent itself and...
But that's saying easier is better. And the reality is that the me reflecting on everything is just as perfect, just as much paradise.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, that's the expression of love. Love wouldn't be love if it said that wasn't as much love as that was. So everything expressing itself in any form that it does.
Okay. But that's really perspective, isn't it? Because, I mean, you go to, let's say, Tony Parsons, and something resonates, and you got the feeling, and there's the sense of freedom, and then there's the memory of being, like, tense all the time, contracted, and then suddenly you can just do your... bills and calculations and organizations, and it's just simpler. I mean, life is just simpler.
That sounds like a story.
How?
Well, the imagination of what a me imagines it would be like if it lost itself.
Uh-huh.
The me doesn't get anything from this message, or it's not really a message even. It's a message of no message. It's a message that there's no need for anything.
No need for anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not that the me gets then an easy life. That's not what's being said here at all.
Oh. Yeah. I got the feeling a little bit that's a failure to communicate because, I mean, there is, obviously you're talking about stuff that is falling away.
Yeah.
Don't you? So, I mean, this is heavy. It's heavy, isn't it? It's just heavy. I mean, it's heavy load to be the manager and to be in control.
Mm. Well, the me doesn't actually do anything. It feels it does.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But a lot of ideas is, one is that this is personal, that somebody gets it. Somebody knows it, somebody has it, and it's not. This is not personal. That there's such a thing as personal freedom or personal enlightenment, there isn't. It isn't like that.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. So...
Nothing happens. That's the amazing thing. The recognition is that there never was anyone there.
Yeah, I totally agree. There's nothing happening. There's nowhere to get, and that's it. But still, keep on talking. And now we say, what is this book, Anarchy of Love? Can you say anything else? What do you have so far? And how do you, I'm interested in also how you work on it.
One chapter that I'm working on now is called The Straitjacket.
Mm-hmm.
The Separate Sense of Self.
Zwangsjacke.
Yeah. Just because that's what it was like for me when it was recognized what that was. It's just, it's a straitjacket of all the ideas of the way I was supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
Jim was supposed to be in order to fit in, to make his life work.
Yeah.
To become enlightened.
Nice. So, is that a few separate chapters that are done?
No, that would be a very... That's the thing is, this is, they're all very short. There's really not much to say about this.
Uh-huh. It's got to be a 20-page book.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
If I'm lucky.
Yeah. Or like a reklame.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's nice, yeah.
It really is. It's very, it's so simple, this thing. This is simple.
Yeah.
It's so simple that it can't be understood. So there's not really a lot to say about it.
Yeah, but you can always try to attack it and then fail.
Huh?
I mean, you can, as me, you can always find different angles and always like...
Yeah, that's what the meetings are about.
Into this.
That's and then totally what the meetings are about.
Always fail to hit the target and there's no target. And you shoot many arrows.
Hmm. Yeah, I think it's a beautiful exchange.
Mm-hmm.
I really love it.
Yeah, do you get pissed off sometimes with people?
Not lately.
Not lately?
No. I mean, people attack this message.
Sure.
As they would.
Yeah.
Because it's outside of experience. It's unbelievable. It's unprovable. So.
Yeah.
It's also useless. It doesn't help anybody.
Yeah. I mean, as I wrote into this email in the beginning, in this before we met right now, I think a valid point is in a way that if you say this is useless, then you offer it at the same time. I mean, it's just happening. There's this place, this studio, and people can go there and talk, and they can't get anything there. They cannot. They think they can go there and get something and leave with the benefits, but the only thing that's possible is loss.
Yeah.
So, this valid criticism, I think, is that like the talk of self and no self actually perpetuates the whole cycle of self or not self, because why not just like leave it aside and regard it as just a word? And we just already talked about this, because I mean, what the self is gonna do is like it's gonna try to like kind of, I don't know, work or like try to get rid of this contraction.
Well, I mean, just because we talk about it doesn't make it try to, just because it's trying to get rid of the contraction, is it's always trying to do something.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about non-duality. I mean, there's no such thing as duality, so why talk about non-duality?
Sure. So yeah.
The point is that the me, the separate sense of self, is an experience as long as it is.
Come again?
It's an experience. It's mm-hmm. an actual experience. People say, I feel me. I feel love.
Yeah.
I feel I.
Yeah.
So that's why it's talked about.
Yeah.
It makes absolutely no difference. That just because there's a apparent separate sense of self, that doesn't make what is any less what is. Doesn't make the absolute any less the absolute.
Yeah.
It's still love appearing as a separate sense of self.
Do you sometimes maybe get a feeling of losing enthusiasm about talking about non-duality? The farther it goes back. Nice days, they're still there.
It actually is getting stronger.
Yeah.
It's the most fascinating thing in the world. And somehow, talking about it, very much like... Jesus said, that when two or more in my name come together, I'll be there. Well, for me, when he says I, he's talking about it or this.
Oh.
And that's the way it is for me. Mm-hmm. That when it's discussed, when it's talked about, somehow it becomes somehow alive. There's more aliveness in it.
Mm-hmm. It
becomes more real.
Yeah. Still running, yes.
Don't you feel it?
What,
when feel we it? Talk about it?
Oh, I mean, I have to say, I love to like break this down like this many times. Let's say every other day, or every day maybe. Oh, that's beautiful. But in a way, yeah, I think there's different angles that are valid, and I cannot name schools or anything, or traditions or religions, because they all suck. I mean, but then there's, let's say, simplicity. I think we could also sit down and talk about simplicity, and non-duality is in a way, it's kind of a destructive approach, but yeah, it's beautiful. I love it. I still. How can I be thankful to anybody? But I'm just thankful. It's just thankful. Let's just say nothing.
Mm.
But yeah. I mean, you just said it's a story, but it really feels like, holy fuck, like, what did I do? How did I interpret this life? And how much complexity and difficulty and torture and suffering were therefore being like in relationship with the world instead of being the world. And okay, I mean, it's just gone. I mean, this is gone, this real strong sense. I mean, because you can do many things to like prove a point and nobody does them, but it just feels like it. You can go insane.
There's no sense of being the world here.
How you're not the world?
Well, it's just what is. There's no world outside of what is.
Okay.
There's just what's happening.
Yeah. Okay, it's a little bit like Jesus is allowed to say I, but I'm not allowed to say the world. What? You know what I mean?
No.
No, because you said, Jesus said, where two come together.
Yeah, I'll be there.
I'll be
but
there.
But I described then what I meant by I, that it's not I, it's this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's say this.
Yeah.
Let's not say the world.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, we might have meant the same thing. I just.
No, that's just my style. Let's see if I have anything else here. It's just impossible to nail, huh? You cannot make a 5-set rule or something of your message.
Well, that's come up a few times. It's definitely not my message.
Uh-huh. It's mine.
It's completely impersonal.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been there. It's always, I mean, in the story, it's always been available, this message.
You mean in written form or?
Yeah, everywhere.
Uh-huh.
Well, like I just quoted the Bible.
Yeah. We'll start again and wonder how it's still hidden then. But I guess the answer is it's still hidden because.
Well, it's always hidden, because to say it's not hidden would be to make it known, and it is unknowable. The what the me, what the contracted sense of self can't recognize is that this, what's happening, is unknowable happening.
Yeah. Is that also perfect?
Well, from here, when I say that, when I recognize that, it just becomes somehow amazing, the whole thing. This, because it's unknowable, because there's no context to it, it's not coming from where or going anywhere.
Yeah.
It then is obviously perfect.
Yeah.
Because it couldn't be anywhere else. So this broken band is absolutely, it couldn't be any more perfect, could it?
Yeah.
It's the perfection of broken rubber band.
Yeah.
Because it couldn't be anywhere, anything else. That's just it. That's the absolute appearing as a broken yellow band.
I agree. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, it's just perfection. Because intellectually it would be, I mean, you often get the response, but then if there's no time, if there's no me, if there's no imperfection in a broken band, then we can just lie down and die, you know? And we can just cry or sit there or whatever. But doesn't seem to be happening, no? There's no problem in the absence of satisfaction for intellect. The intellect remains unsatisfied and always hungry, let's say.
The me does. If you're talking about the separate sense of self. But part of the dissatisfaction of being a separate sense of self is it can't lay down, it can't cry, it can't do any of those things. Those things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or don't happen. The separate sense of self is really a movement to bring about something that can't be. It thinks living forever is what it's going to have. Is what's going to make it happy. It thinks getting everything it wants is what's going to make it happy.
Yeah.
It thinks it knows what it wants. Although it continually gets what it apparently wants, and it never makes it happy. So it's completely hopeless. It's completely powerless. It's an effect of an effect of an effect of an effect. The appearance is a dependent reality.
Mm-hmm.
It has no, in that sense, it's an expression of the absolute, but it has no sort of, it can't approach the absolute.
Mm-hmm. Just had a follow-up. Oh, yeah. Because it seems... If you see that thing that is so hopeless and so much in vain, I think about, let's say, heavy alcoholics or like super burned-out turbo capitalists or whatever... But in a broad sense, really something's happening at the moment also, maybe again, like the search for the Holy Grail, and that is the search for singularity. You ever heard about that?
Mm.
Like Silicon Valley looking for possibilities to basically become immortal through, let's say, implanting your DNA into a virtual world, or creating backup copies of your body with the same DNA, or just... taking the step with the 3D glasses and dive into a 3D realm which is not physics, not biology. And from certain perspectives, it seems like this is the arms race for who's going to be the first to reach immortality. You ever heard about this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The self can't do anything. The separate sense of self can't do anything but look for something else.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't it. That's what it knows. This isn't it. Because it can't do anything with this.
Yeah.
So it has to look for something else.
And there's this guy, Ray Kurzweil, who is like, was, I don't know, drinking some vitamins or something, or like not using hair dryers because he wants to survive at least 90 years so that he can reach the point where this thing happens and he can transform into a virtual being and remain alive until eternity.
Hmm.
Or maybe just decide when to switch off. And that's hugely interesting, I think.
Hmm.
Maybe that's a, in a way, a repetition of what all these people, or like me trying to do, always reach immortality. Maybe invent reincarnation, or maybe...
Well, the repetition is, it's never this. So even if they do find reincarnation or immortality, that won't be enough.
Yeah.
Nothing's enough for me.
So we are Nirvana then?
Excuse me?
No, Nirvana would be the end of saying this is not it.
Nirvana would be the end of saying this is not it. Perfection.
That's paradise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's also infinite.
Mm-hmm. Woo. I think this is very, very simple words for a very heavy, or let's very strong thing.
It's a really powerful message. Yeah, it is.
You can only feel it, how powerful it is from the other side. I say this in dualist words.
Don't know why that is.
What?
Well, it seems awesome to me.
Yeah, it's awesome, but from another perspective, it's only fear and terrible and death threat and I don't know, 1,000 years, 2,000 years, gods, demons, everything, and then everything just collapses, and it's very simple. So the power of this message is not felt anymore, like before, where there was so much fear.
Hmm. Yeah, the fear dies.
Uh-huh. It's a little bit hard to explain, but there's this... this threat, this constant threat, and this...
Hmm.
This agony. And then there's super special feeling of heaviness and power and everything, and all this kind of feels like flushing through, and then it's very simple message.
Hmm.
Hmm. Should we finish it here?
Okay.
Or do you still have energy?
As long as you have questions, I have energy.
Okay. I don't think I have any more questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was already all of them. So thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks, Marcus.
That switches off here.